Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is filmmaker Doug Pray. Doug Pray has made films such as Hype and Scratch in the past. His latest project is Louder Than Guns, a documentary featuring Old Crow Medicine Show's Catch Secor and former NPR Morning Edition host David Greene, discussing the issue of gun violence in America. Along the way, there are a number of performances from Old Crow Medicine Show interspersed in the film. We talk about that and much more on this episode of Into Music with Doug Pray, coming up now. You know, I'll kind of start with probably an obvious question, but how did you get involved with this project?
So I knew David Greene, the public radio journalist who's mostly known for being one of the voices of Morning Edition on NPR for some years. I knew him as a colleague just a little bit. We'd tried to get a project together, and he called me one day and said, you know, I'm friends with this musician, Catch Secor of Old Crow Medicine Show, and I'd heard of them. I wasn't like a diehard fan, but I definitely appreciated their music. I love bluegrass and used to play the fiddle when I was younger. So there's just a somewhat of an affinity. And he said, you know, there's been a shooting in Nashville and it really has affected Catch in a deep way. And he just wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, and he wants to do something to get this, to somehow change the conversation, especially in the world of country music. I mean, he's from Nashville, he's in Nashville. And this shooting at the Covenant School in March, on March 27th of 2023, really rattled that community. And Ketch's question to David, and which David relayed to me, was just, why can't my community talk about this? Why can't we talk about this in a way like we talk about hurricanes or floods or other disasters, which the whole community rallies around, and as David put it, you sort of see the best in humanity coming together. Whereas with guns, everybody just immediately gets polarized and politicized, and no matter what side you're on, there tends to be a feeling of, don't talk about this, you're threatening me. If you're very pro Second Amendment and very pro gun or whatever that means, but just maybe a gun owner who happens to be very pro-Second Amendment, you feel like everybody after a shooting wants to take away your guns. And that becomes the kind of the only main argument. If you're on the other side, which might be the more kind of stereotypically liberal view after a gun shooting, is a ban everything. Got to get rid of all these guns. And the two sides are never going to meet. And yet Ketch sees all those sides at his concerts. He sees hippies and rednecks and red hat wearing people and blue hat wearing people. What he sees, people, conservatives and liberals and everybody at his shows, because his band attracts a really wide demographic. I'm just stealing the words right out of what he says in the movie, but if they can all come together and sing and dance and have a great time together at my show, why can't we talk about this? That was the impetus. And in as simple terms as I could put it, the more the three of us talked, we had a Zoom one day, they kept talking about conversation. We need to have a better conversation. We need to change the conversation. I just said, well, why don't we film conversations? And we all kind of developed that idea together of just very simply following the band around to different cities and having almost like roundtable meetings with regular citizens who might come together, but who represent all different sides. Like if the two sides aren't talking, well, let's bring them together and see if they can actually respectfully talk about this. And that's what we did. And I filmed it. My job is to document that tour and a bunch of different conversations. And that's really what the film is.
I guess one of the things I think that's admirable about Ketch, and it comes across in the film, is that this is a conviction for him. This is not some cause that he's, you know, cause celeb or anything like that. It's really a conviction.
Yeah, it is. Ketch's, well, first of all, he has two children who were about the same age as the victims at Covenant. He also happens to have founded an Episcopal school in Nashville, which is like a sister school of Covenant. And so it's not only did he knew people in that community very directly, but it really impacted him because he's so close to this school that he helps run. And it's a really great school too. We actually filmed there one day with some of the kids, and it just hit him strongly. He's an artist, and he's a passionate, soulful guy, and he feels stuff right here. He's very, if you've met him, and if you know, like Old Crow is known for their, like, they put on a romp of a show, a really fun show, but they also have a lot of sentiment, and there's a lot of emotion in a lot of those songs. Country music in general has a lot of emotion. And so he, what's the expression? He wears his heart on his sleeve. Like he's very able to express himself on this topic, and it means a lot to him. It means a lot to all of us, but he's particularly expressive, and I really admire that.
So one of the things that just really got me was, I believe you're in Montana at one point talking to people about how gun violence has impacted them, and you're hearing stories about, you know, so many suicides and other ways. When you're in a room like that, that's got to be really powerful to just hear those stories coming from the people who've been impacted.
It's a heavy discussion. And what you realize is everyone you talk to, I'm almost afraid to ask you, but almost everybody has some story in their family or among their friends or in their community or at work or their school of something along these lines that impacted them directly, whether it's suicide, which is still the number one cause of death by gun, you know, whether it's a child accidental shooting, whether it's, of course, a mass shooting, whether it's just all sorts of things, you know. And it's really interesting. Everybody I talk to, they say, oh, you know, my uncle, this, or, you know, I had a friend, or, you know, at the school I went to, there, this happened. You know, just yesterday I talked to somebody who said, well, I'm so glad my daughter wasn't hurt, but there was a scare at her school. And we all feel this. I think if you feel it very directly, if it happens in your hometown, then everything changes. But everybody's, there's nobody not affected. It definitely is it's a, you know, that expression. It's,
yeah.
There's no prejudice in who this affects.
Yeah. Well, and what I love too is that this is not a film that's coming and saying, okay, here's the answer. This is about exploration. And then that invites us, the audience, to work through those feelings and ideas ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of gun films, and some of them are very good, take a stand. They take a very, they're advocacy films, and they're saying, we got to do this thing. And everybody in the audience, we want you to do this thing. And, you know, it's either preaching the choir or preaching to the unconverted and hoping people will come on board and take action. Our film was completely different. This is not even really a political film. Well, the subject is incredibly political, but I try to tell people, this isn't what you're expecting. This isn't a typical advocacy film. It's a music film first. And that's a way into the conversation that brings everybody together. But it's also just, the subject is so intense that the goal became while we were making the film to, we don't want conflict. We don't want this to be reality TV. We don't want people yelling at each other like we hear pretty much 24/7 on social media and on the news. This is, in fact, that's exactly what we don't want. What we want to try is just something a little bit different for 2026, or in the case of when we were filming a few years back, and just to listen, respect the people across the table. If there's somebody you totally disagree with, that's okay. Speak your mind. But let's give each other the respect of being curious about where we all came from. As a non-gun owner, probably, I'm sure anybody listening would figure I'm a typical liberal filmmaking guy who lives in California, even if I'm from a rural state like Wisconsin, where everyone I knew hunted all the time and had guns everywhere. I'll admit, like, I learned a lot. I learned so much from the gun owners that I met, just about their desire for safety, their desire for somehow legislation that makes sense for once, because so much of it just doesn't to them. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And just this idea that, you know, in my mind, it feels like 80% of America, I'm making that up, but 80% of America agrees on this, that we all want to do something. We all want to actually take action and come up with some better ways to handle this problem, because it's a national crisis and we're sick of it. But the only people being heard from are on the extreme sides, like on every other issue. So the film is an attempt to, this sounds so arrogant, to show America that this conversation can happen and how it might sound. And if anything, if people watch the film, I just want them to open their mind to maybe talking to that person across the street, or talking to their relative who they never bring this topic up to, and just trying to kind of be a little more open and figure out where can we meet in the middle on this? You know, as Ketch and David both say in the film, there's a moment where they have this epiphany, and it's kind of like, you know, what's crazy is the people who don't want any guns in their house are doing that because they want their family to be safe. And the people who have guns in their house, they're doing that because they want their family to be safe. So as David says, like, that's the glue. That's a way forward. You know, it's just a different approach. We're just trying to have a slightly different conversation.
I mean, you touched on this. I mean, growing up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, my hometown was a hunting fishing community. We would get the first day of hunting season off from school, and you know, hunters would come from Illinois. They would have their hunting camps, and the grocery store would make its, you know, bank for quite a while, the bars and restaurants, you know. So I understood that culture as being very central to who we were, you know. Without hunting, that wouldn't exist. Also, living in a place where sometimes you're a mile and a half from another neighbor, somebody shows up at your door at 2 a.m. and they're covered in blood, you don't know who that is. You have that desire to protect yourself and your family. And it's interesting that, like, in my hometown, I don't really recall instances of people shooting each other, yet there were guns everywhere.
Well, most gun owners are really, they're all about safety. I mean, even when I grew up, I remember going to camp and there was, like, rifle safety and, you know, in the NRA, which was kind of a different thing back then. But, you know, getting a patch saying, like, that I'd passed, like, a couple levels of... I'm sure that still goes on today, but it just feels different. It feels really different. And yeah, it is interesting. I mean, again, most gun owners that we spoke with in many different communities were, they had very similar views, ironically, to a lot of urban gun owners. There was no difference. I think the moments when I was making the film that were the most alarming and surprising, but in a good way, where it's like when stereotypes were just shattered. Because you sit down at the table with somebody and you know how our minds work. You look at them and you go, I know exactly what that person across the table thinks. I see them. I see what they're wearing. I got it. And then out of their mouth comes the exact opposite. Like, who knew? You know what I mean? It's just, it's so, when that happens, it really is, it gives me pause. It just makes me go, okay, we got to stop judging people and we got to stop labeling people. And it's ridiculous. It's just that this conversation is not going anywhere unless we just open up a little bit and say, wait a minute, who are you? Why do you have a gun? Or why do you not have a gun? What's the real reason? Because those reasons are interesting and they're valid. I've spoken to hardcore Second Amendment gun owners who don't have guns in their house because maybe their dad was involved with the shooting or something, or there's something, you know. And then there's the whole idea of like how many gun owners are very open to having safety locks on their guns, which is just such an easy way to immediately, reduce the number of deaths. It's just something you can do that just helps. And I think there's this idea that we got to change everything overnight, and that's not going to happen. It's just not. It's going to take this and then this and this conversation. Our film was just a little piece of it. Our film was just trying to encourage the conversation, and hopefully other people can take it elsewhere. You know, other country music stars might catch on to what Ketch C-Corps is hoping they might talk about. And you know, all in across the board, there's a lot of different ways that people can respond. But it reminds me of smoking. Whether you or your listeners smoke or not, I don't care at all. That's a personal choice. But it is interesting that like 40 years ago, our country's, you know, there was smoking was everywhere. And it was like, there's no way you're going to get rid of this. There's no way this is going to change. Not a chance. Not in the culture I grew up in. Well, look at us today. How'd that happen? It was incremental. It was a little bit here, education here, this here, the government doing some stuff, citizens doing, the doctors doing stuff. It was basically like, you know, like 1,000 points of light, as they say, you know, just like a whole bunch of different things. So here we are today in a much healthier society. Somehow it happened. And people still have the choice to smoke if they want. It's okay. It's really interesting, but that's my favorite metaphor because it's sort of like I think we're dealing with something that seems that intransigent, difficult, impossible.
I mean, yeah, that is a great one. I do a little bit of teaching, and I sometimes talk about that, how when I was a kid, my job at family gatherings was to go around and empty ashtrays for my parents' guests, you know? And my students, their eyes are like that.
And your fingers smelled like smoke.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, it was a big deal. But I mean, when you travel to other cultures and you realize they're still smoking in elevators, they're like, wow, we've changed. Interesting.
But I think too that I don't know, for me, so much of everything when you're talking about change goes back to education. And I think, again, opening up that conversation and asking people why, you know, why guns are prevalent or present in their life, or you know, that begins something spinning.
Definitely. Yeah. The other component to the project that I just wanted to touch on, especially since you're so into music and you know, I've seen your interviews where anyway, you're into music, is just the fact that of using music kind of as a way in, I think was a good call. In fact, it was really the only reason I even dared to do a film on such a political subject, because I just don't do like these kinds of movies. I've never done a movie about things I'm very passionate about politically. I just haven't. But the music, as soon as I realized, oh, I get to follow Old Crow Medicine Show around and film their performances, which I just love doing. I've done it my whole career. Just love music. It really gave me this view of a film that could have these breaks. So you talk about a heavy thing, like you were saying in Montana, such a heavy thing. And it's just quiet in the room, and you're like, man, we gotta get out of this room. This is everybody's being so honest, and there's tears, and it's a heavy topic. And then to be able to cut to music as I'm editing, to land in a performance, it was such a great breath of fresh air. And it really, I felt that way while we were filming too. It'd be like, oh, okay, that meeting took 2 or 3 hours, and we're all wiped out. Now let's go to the show and let's go film the band just having a great time and just bringing people together. And it just, there's something about the power of music that's underlying all of this. It's not really an overtly music film. It's like we don't talk about the band and their songs and everything, but it is a music film. And by the way, the title, Louder Than Guns, is based on Ketch Sekor's song that he wrote in the wake of the Covenant School shooting in 2023 called Louder Than Guns. So it's about this. And throughout the movie, you see that song sort of developing or being performed in many different situations. And so as a viewer, you really become intimate with those lyrics and that song. And that's why it's the title track.
Before we go, I don't want to give for anybody who hasn't seen the film yet too much of it away, but there's a pretty powerful scene with Ketch where he reveals something pretty personal about this topic. That had to be an immense moment as a filmmaker to see somebody open up like that and reveal something.
Especially since I was completely surprised myself. I knew Ketch cared about this topic. I didn't know that it had a personal connection. It's just like we were speaking about earlier. Everybody has some connection to this topic. And I knew I wanted to drive with Ketch with the camera and just sort of have a one-on-one talk with him, because usually he was in the groups with everybody or performing. And yeah, we were just driving down a country road one morning with the camera and just talking. And he told me this story, and I was just floored. And yeah, like you said, I don't think we need to get into it now, but it's just a personal connection, like a death in his family that really, really shattered him and clearly shaped his worldview. And the thing I love about making documentaries is when you're filming anywhere in any subject, and life happens in front of you and you weren't expecting it. Or it's that spontaneity that makes me love nonfiction filmmaking. It's the thing that I live for is, and I'm not trying to make this sound like, oh, good, he's spilling his soul and I got a good scene. I mean, I suppose there's a part of me thinking, well, this is very powerful for sure. As a filmmaker, I am thinking that. But it also just is, it's the beauty of documentaries is people come out and talk. And if the camera's rolling at that time, then it makes for a stronger film. It's a very strong moment in the movie, and it was a strong moment in the making of the movie for me too, because it just kind of added a level of depth to the whole thing.
You've been listening to a conversation with filmmaker Doug Pray. Doug Pray is the director of the new documentary Louder Than Guns, featuring Ketch Sekor and Old Crow Medicine Show. You can find out more about the film, including current and scheduled screening dates, at louderthanguns.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson.